This morning's sermon is called Sorrow Will Turn to Joy, from John chapter 16, verse 16 through 24, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. As we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, I want you to keep in mind the purpose of John writing this gospel, and that is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh, and by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. Amen? That is John's purpose as an eyewitness of Jesus, one of the original apostles. John wants us to know that Jesus is God, and without him, you cannot have life. This is John's message to us and to the world. In this morning's passage, Jesus changes the conversation to joy. Their joy, his joy, the joy to come before he goes to the cross. And he actually talks about joy right until the end of this chapter, even into chapter 17, our next chapter, when Jesus goes and prays before the Father for us. Beautiful. I can't wait to get to chapter 17. Beautiful chapter as Jesus prays for you and me to the Father. Read that chapter if you get a chance. You probably already have, but what a chapter that is. Jesus praying to the Father, Father, I want you to love them like you love me. Father, I desire to be with those who you gave me. Incredible chapter. Whew, I can't imagine how moved I'm going to be doing those sermons. Whew. Wow. So let's go ahead, and if you brought your Bible with you this morning, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 16, as we go through the Word of God. We're going to look at verses 16 through 18. 16 through 18. Jesus said, "A little while, and you will not see me. And again, in a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father." Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and we will not see him, and a little while, and we will see him. And because I go to the Father," what is Jesus talking about here? Verse 18 says, they said, "Therefore, what is this that Jesus says? In a little while, we do not know what he is saying." Interesting, huh? Read that. Verse 16, Jesus says, "A little while, and you will not see me." Now, we know what he's talking about. He's about to die on the cross. He's hours away from the cross, from this passage. He's getting ready to go to the cross for them and for you and me. So we know what he means when he says, "In a little while, you will not see me," he tells his disciples. Then he says, "And in a little while, you are going to see me." You love that. "Because I go to the Father." Well, that's more than just the resurrection. That's ascension. And that's just him sending the Holy Spirit. That is well more. So the Lord literally says to them and to you and me, "I'm going to be out of sight for a few days, but you're going to see me again. Then I'm going to be out of sight, period. But you're going to see me because I am going to my Father, and I will ask him to send you my Spirit so you will see me again with your spiritual eyes," okay? Not physically. Inside your heart, with your spiritual eyes, you will see me again, right? He tells his disciples, "You are going to have to start walking by faith now, not by sight. I'm going back to be with the Father But I'm going to come back in the Spirit and live within you spiritually. Then John wrote, right, in 17, he said, some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that Jesus says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and a little while, and again in a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that Jesus says? In a little while, we do not know what Jesus is saying. The kind of statements that Jesus was making to his disciples were very confusing. And they were concerned to the point that now they were turning to each other. They begin to say, what is Jesus talking about here? We're very confused. In a little while, you will not see me, and then in a little while, you will see me. So they start thinking that Jesus is talking in circles. I can assure you he wasn't. So they start talking to each other and say, what is Jesus talking about here? I want you to notice. Did you notice none of them turned to Jesus? None of them turned to Jesus and say, Lord, help us. We are lost. We don't get this, Lord. We are losing it. Please increase our faith here, Lord. Help us trust in you more, Lord, because we don't understand what you're talking about. That's probably what you say sometimes when you read his word, right? We don't know, Lord, what you are talking. They didn't do that. Instead, they start talking among themselves. Hey, Peter, you know what Jesus is talking about? No. Hey, John, how about you? You know what Jesus is talking about? No. James? No, go ask Philip. See if he knows, because we don't know. Misery loves company, huh? These guys are full misery right here, right? This is a blind leading the blind. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you do when sorrow comes? Do you go to the Lord or do you go to the world? I hope you go to the Lord. Jesus teaches us that in the scripture, right? Matthew 6:33. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to what? You. Jesus teaches us what to do. One of the many things the Word of God teaches us is that the lack of knowledge about God and his Word can steal your joy. Can absolutely steal your joy. You can lose your joy when you lack understanding of who God is, lack understanding of his Word and his promises to you and me as a believer in Jesus Christ. In the case of these men, one thing is for sure. They were very confused of what is coming, and their lack of insight had stolen their joy. Stolen their joy. Biblical joy, biblical peace, biblical hope is not something that you can pursue. It is the byproduct of knowing God and knowing his word and knowing his promises. You can't pursue that. It is the byproduct of knowing him, which these men didn't find any joy in the things Jesus was telling them because they didn't get it. Although Jesus has been telling them for many chapters now what's to come. Went over their head. You know why? Because they were hoping for a Messiah of their own making. That's why. It's interesting that when you go to the world's joy is always attached to something positive in their favor. Right? Right? You follow me, right? Oh, you look so happy today. Got a raise. Hey, why are you smiling so much? Gonna get married. You go to work, you ask your co-workers, why are you so happy today? 18 more days, going on vacation. Right, you follow me, right? It's always attached to something positive in their favor, right? Always attached to something, and guess what? It's always short-lived. It's always short-lived. It's always replaced with what? The next thing. That's if you go to the world. I'm talking about the world. And their joy is stolen when it doesn't work out. Not getting that raise now. They can't do it. Not getting married. My girlfriend left me. Can't go on vacation. Two people quit. Always attached. And it's always short-lived. And it steals your joy when it isn't what you thought it was. It's a whole different deal all of a sudden. That's not how it works with the Lord. That's not how it works with the Lord. The way joy comes to you and me is when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. And we live for Him. We trust in Him. We align our heart with Him. And we seek to do His will. And we trust that He is for us. He's on our side. He is going to do what's best for us. And He loves us. Now, we don't always get it when things happen. We cannot always explain it. But we are where God wants us to be. Amen? And that's inside of His will. That's where joy comes from. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from Jesus Christ living inside of you. That's literally where joy comes from for us. It can only be found in Jesus Christ living inside the heart of a believer. Because you're never going to find it in the world. And the more you align your heart with God's will, and you align your will with His will, the greater joy you're going to have in Him. The greater joy you're going to have in Almighty God. And when we get down to verse 22, which we'll eventually get to, Jesus tells these boys, you all have a joy, listen, that no one can take from you. That no one can take from you. If you really want to have joy in your life that'll last, attach yourself to God's word and His promises. If you want to have real joy. Let's take a look at verses 19 and 20. John wrote, now Jesus knew, being God, He knows all things, that they desired to ask Him. And Jesus said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again in a little while, and you will see me? Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. So after discussing all these things among themselves, Jesus says, hey guys, I can hear you. Something like that. Now, I don't know if he could hear them, but one thing I do know, Jesus is God. And He knows what was going on in their heart, like He knows what's going on in your heart this morning, and He knows what's going on in my heart. He knows all things. And He knew what was going on in their hearts. I love the fact that the Lord is well aware of His own and their needs. Don't you love that? He's well aware of this. He's well aware of his own people and their needs. He was well aware of what was going on in their hearts. And I want you to notice something very important here. While they were confused, while they were impatient, while they were frustrated, while they were angry, the Lord wasn't with them. We serve an amazing God. He was not moved at all. He wasn't angry at them. He wasn't impatient with them at all. Instead, he offers them a promise in verse 20. This is the Lord we serve. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will become sorrowful." Here's the promise. "But your sorrow will be turned into joy." It's a promise from the Lord. You know what Jesus is saying? Hey, boys, I'm going to tell you right now, something good is going to come out of this. Right? Romans 8, 28, right? "And we know all things work together for good to those who" what? "Love God and who are called according to his purpose." So Jesus said, hey, fellas, it's going to be bad. But I'm going to tell you right now, something good's going to come out of this. I promise you that. I promise you that. Now listen, the first part of this promise isn't that great, right? In fact, he tells them, it's going to get worse, boys. You think you're confused now? Wait until a few hours from now when you see me hanging on a cross. Remember, he's hours from going to the cross. Wait until you see me get nailed to the cross at about 9 a.m. in the morning, and I'm hanging there till 3 p.m., and I take my last breath, and I die before you on the cross. You think you're sorrowful now? He says, you're going to start to lament. You know what lament means? That means to howl or wail. You ever cried? You're just so upset. You cry, you wail. Jesus says, you're going to do that. You're going to see me. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And he says, and all those around you, speaking of the religious leaders that hated Jesus and the Roman guards, he says, they're going to rejoice when they see me hanging on the cross. They're going to be dancing on the street when this happens, he says, for a little while. For a little while. Here's the second part of the promise. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. When? 3 days later, when he rose from the dead and he showed himself to his disciples when they were hiding in a room in fear of the religious leaders, and Jesus appeared to him and he says, "Peace to you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive my spirit." And in which they became born again. That's in John chapter 20, verse 21 and 23. He breathed on them as they, 11 of them, were hiding in a room in fear of the religious leaders, and Jesus appeared to them. You think their sorrow turned to joy that day when they saw him standing there? You betcha. And he says, "Peace to you." And he literally breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In which these 11 men became born again. You and I need to remember, God is good. And he is for us, not against us. And we have life in him, and it doesn't end here. Amen? It does not end here. You need to know the promises of God. And that's what Jesus does here with these men. He told them, you are going to be sorrowful. I'm telling you, when you see me on that cross, oh, you're going to be devastated. You are going to be devastated. But most assuredly, I say to you, your sorrow will turn into joy when I show myself to you. Like God has showed himself to you and me. Your joy. You're going to be filled with joy. My spirit living in within you. God's promises turns weeping into joy. You need to understand that. God's promises in His Word turns weeping into joy. But you got to know. You got to go through His Word. This book is filled with promises to His children. Filled from the beginning to the end, promises of God's promise to you and me. Right here. It's all right there. Jesus, I laid it all out for you. Go read. And by the way, I don't know if you've heard, the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. When? In a little while. In a little while, He's coming back. I hope you're ready. I hope you're prepared. You know the parable of the 10 foolish virgins, right? The five, right? Right? Five of them weren't ready. Five of them were. The five who weren't ready, what did Jesus say? Depart from me. I didn't know you. And the five went home to be with the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, especially in this crazy world we're living in. Because otherwise, this world that is Satan is ruling temporarily, he will steal your joy every day if you let him. That's what he's out to do. He knows he can't steal your salvation. He knows it. He can slow down your sanctification. And he wants to steal your joy because you're a child of God. If you let him, he will. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, for you are going to lament. Let's look at verse 21 and 22. It's a pretty neat metaphor right here Jesus gives us, right? Verse 21 and 22, Jesus says, a woman, when she is in labor, you women know this who are in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. You moms know that, right? For the joy a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take. I love it. Highlight that in your Bible. Highlight that in your Bible. That last part right there. Your joy no one will take from you, says the Lord. No one. Matter of fact, underline it too. Put an arrow to it. Mark it up. God's okay with us going through it and marking it up. Jesus used a metaphor of pain and difficulty that comes during the birthing process for a woman. How the sorrow turns to joy when the mother sees her baby, a new life. Wow, isn't that? That is incredible. A great metaphor, huh? That Jesus gives us. He says, your sorrow is going to turn to joy when the baby's born. It's incredible. And he tells his disciples, he says, hey, and by Sunday when I walk out of the tomb, your sorrow is going to be turned to joy. Trust me, says the Lord. I love that. You know, I had the privilege of watching all three of Michelle and I's boys be born. And I'm going to tell you, it is an incredible experience. I mean, wow. What an experience. What an amazing experience that was. I'll never forget it. And I saw Michelle all three times go from sorrow to joy when the baby came. Incredible miracle. Never forget it. Now, on the way home from the hospital, I said to Michelle, well, that was a piece of cake. Let's have another baby. And I had the duck. Funny one, Sean. At least I thought it was. Let's look at our final verses, verse 23 and 24. Jesus said in verse 23, He said, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whenever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Again, that's according to his will. He's not going to give you a new car today or a boat. It's according to his will. Verse 24 says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. That's interesting, right? You know why Jesus said that? At this time, the disciples only prayed to God. They never came to Jesus, right? They prayed, but it was always just to the Father. Jesus wasn't with them. Now Jesus comes along and says, hey, by the way, you're going to start asking the Father in my name. Isn't that great? This is all new to them. He says, until now, you have not asked anything in my name, because you wouldn't have. He says, and you will receive that your joy may be filled. God has given us access to him through his Son, which means we can come to the Father with confidence. You need to know that, right? Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God has opened the door for you and me to come to him boldly to the throne of grace. It is God's idea and it is his desire that we come and pray. That is God's desire for you, is that you'll come and you'll pray to him. He has opened the door. He wants you to come and pray. Right, the word ask, did you see that? It's mentioned four times in two verses. Ask or asked, right? As Jesus invites them and us to come to the Father and ask for help, seek for guidance, seek his blessings and help during time of need. And Jesus says, and make sure you do it in my name. Make sure you do it in my name, boys, tells the disciples. Four times, come and ask, come and ask, come and ask. What did James write? You have not because you ask not. I get that. You have not because you ask not. But Jesus says, just come. Ask the Father. Do it in my name. God may not grant you all of your prayers because he knows what's best for you. But Jesus invites us to come and seek him. Seek the Father and pray in my name. Pray in my name. Jesus says, you have full access to the Father, I hope you know, through me. Full access, 24/7, through me. Which means we can pray with confidence in Jesus' name. One last thing before we close. The question often comes up, who should we address when we are praying? Well, here's what we do know. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who is in heaven, right? He teaches us that. And Jesus also teaches us that when you go to the Father, I want you to ask in my name through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit, Scripture tells us, help us when we pray, right? Helps guide our prayers, helps us with our words when we pray, helps us just asking whatever we're asking. The Holy Spirit, which is within us, helps us to do this, to pray to the Lord, right? So biblically, we ought to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful expression of the triune Godhead, all connected with your prayers. You see that, right? You're praying to the Father in Jesus' name through the Holy Spirit, all three persons in the triune Godhead listening to your prayers. Wow. Now, I just want you to know also, I talk to Jesus quite often and the Holy Spirit, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You probably do too. But I will tell you this, when I bring my prayer requests and supplications before the Lord, I seek the Father out in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's different than when you're riding down the road saying, you know, you're riding down the road saying, Lord, Or you pull into a shopping center. Lord, can you give me a parking spot out front, please? You know? Thank you, Lord. You know? That we talk to Jesus, right? You guys do it too. That's okay. You can talk to Jesus. You pray to the Holy Spirit. Lead me, guide me, Holy Spirit. But when you bring your prayer requests and supplications before the Lord, Jesus says, you go to the Father through me, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful, huh? You and I in full harmony with the triune God. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us on this morning as we go through your word, as we went through your word, Lord. We thank you. Please, Lord, continue to help us grow in your word. Help us grow in our faith and help align our heart and with your will, Lord. Continue to speak to us. Every day we pick up your word, your Bible, and we go in a quiet time and read, Lord. Please continue to speak to us, Lord. Help us understand what you want us to know. We ask this in your precious name of Jesus. Amen.